Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Tonight, as we go to prayer with Pastor Jim, I just want you to know that I want to take you for the next few minutes into the Word of the Lord, and then we're going to pray together. But I want you to hear my heart more than anything else tonight. I want you to realize that if you called yourself, and I know I do, Christian, then there needs to be time set aside that you spend in two modes that God would have you to operate in. These two modes are one, talking to God. The second mode is listening to God. That's what this is all about. You can pray and talk to God, but if you don't take the time to listen to God and know what God is saying, you find yourself in a mess oftentimes. I'm amazed at how much God cares about people who pray. There's just something about it all through the Scripture, as well as the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament. There's something about the prayers that go to God. God literally holds on to them. I don't know why, but if you gave me, you know, money or diamonds or gold or something, I'd try to hold on to it. But they are so precious to God, and I'll show you this scripture, that God holds on to the prayers. Oftentimes, listen to me, oftentimes you and I will let go of the prayers that we pray. Sometimes we forget about what we prayed last year. Then we wonder why we never get any answers. Sometimes we've asked, what did you pray a couple of years ago? And if it was so important to take it to God, but now we've gone on, we've moved on with our thoughts and our emotions and even our wants. We don't even really hold on to these prayers until we see them coming to pass. And God is looking for a people to trust Him enough to hold on to prayer, to realize that it's so important to God that God holds on to it. He doesn't let it go. He doesn't let it just fly away. It isn't something unimportant to Him. It isn't something just spoken and then forgot about. It's something that he sees and he recognizes and considers to be incredibly important to all of us. There's this guy in the Bible, the son, one of the sons of David, named Solomon. I mean, Solomon is the son of David, king of Israel, greatest king there's ever been in Israel. Certainly, without a doubt, brought such great wealth to Israel, expanded the borders of Israel, brought commerce in of import and export into Israel. And David was so amazing that he was incredibly wealthy. As the people got wealthy, David got wealthy. And then as he got older, that wealth went to his family. If you have a hard time with someone who's a man of God having wealth, then you need to read your Bible, because men of God usually do have some form of wealth, and if they don't, God meets their needs. And Solomon was one that was probably, if not the richest, probably one of the most richest people on the planet while he was here. Now, when you're rich, you know, you kind of like have every base covered, is what I always thought. Rich people, you know, they have all the food they want. They got all the housing they want. They have all the servants they want. They have any kind of transportation they want. They can go and come when they want, do the thing that they want to do. Isn't that what rich people are like? They kind of call their own shots. And Solomon is wealthy enough that he can literally call his own shots. He can do anything he wants to do. He can not do something or do something. And then when I was reading my Bible about prayer, I saw something that was so amazing to me about the heart of Solomon. Even though later on in life it turned, when he was a young man, he was really tuned into the things of God. That God had spoken to him a number of times and met with him. I don't know about you, but I would love God to meet with me. How would you? Wouldn't you love that? And so God meets with Solomon. And I want to take you tonight, as we talk about the subject of prayer, in the 1 Kings, the 9th chapter. In 1 Kings, the 9th chapter, I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. And I'm going to explain some things to you. But I want you to underline in your Bible. I'll show you which ones I want you to underline as we go to it. And it came to pass when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord. Remember, David wanted to build it. But David couldn't build it because he had too much blood on his hands, the God set. And when I see the word house of the Lord, or the Lord's house in the Old Testament, did you know that that relates to you? Did you know, like I said earlier, we are the house of God? That you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And what we see in the Old Testament is a similitude of the spiritual side of the New Testament. So here's this wealthy man that has everything back in him, doing something with his wealth, building the house of God. I don't know if you ever thought about it, but you probably should. When you got saved, you became one of the wealthiest people on the planet. I don't care what your bank account says, and I don't care what your stocks say, and I don't care what the economy says, and I don't give a flip about, you know, what the stock market says, or the real estate market, or who's after you and who isn't. I want you to know, according to God, you're an inheritor of the things of God, which makes you a very rich person. And God owns it all. And you are the king's kid. And just like the King David was passing along the wealth to Solomon, it's exactly the same way here. Jesus, King Jesus, is passing along the wealth of heaven to you. And you and I, when we're here in this wealthy position, in other words, we have God, we really have everything we need to be what God would have us to be and to do what God would have us to do. We have everything we could ever have. We are the richest and most valuable commodity on the planet. Most of us look at ourselves in the mirror and hate ourselves, don't know how we're going to make it, totally frustrated. And here God says something as using Solomon. He is with all of his wealth doing something. He's doing what you're doing in church tonight. He's building the house of God. And he didn't have to. He can do anything he wants. He's a rich man. And notice what it says as it goes on. It's kind of cool. He says this, the house of the Lord and the king's house and all of Solomon's desires which he wanted to do. All of a sudden you stop and you think about the heart of Solomon. All of his desires, which he wanted to do. What did he want to do? He wanted to build the house of God. I tell you, when you are a person that wants to build the house of God, not only the church that we're in, but your own life, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that something happens, and then that becomes the desire of your heart. Man, now you catch the eye of God. You catch the heart of God. All of a sudden, life takes on meaning and purpose. And then verse number 2 comes along, and it says this. The Lord appeared unto Solomon the second time, and he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And here he is, finding himself where God appears to him again. Why? Because he's in there with God, doing what? Building the house of God. What for? That's his desire. When you desire to build the house of God, you, in the workplace, in the temple of God, all of a sudden you catch the heart of God, and God appears to him. Tonight, I fully expect God to speak to you about prayer, about family, about life, about future, about destiny. Why? Because we're here building the house of God. Why would God care so much about Solomon that he would show up to Solomon but he wouldn't show up for you? God cares about you. Doesn't he care about you just as much? Are you not in a right position? You're in a better position than Solomon. You have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that puts you back into a position. Even before Solomon, before the fall of the garden. Then he comes along and makes this statement in verse number 3. And the Lord said to him, listen to this. And I should have underlined these words. I have heard your prayers and your supplications that you have made before me. Now listen to this. Here's this very rich man. And he hasn't stopped praying to God Almighty. Here's this man that could do anything he wants to do, or not do anything he wants to do. Here's this man that opens his mouth and the army stand to attention. Here's this man, when he walks in the room, man, everybody else bows before him. Here's this man that has more gold, more silver than any of us could ever imagine. Probably one of the richest, if not the richest man on the entire planet. And yet his heart was somewhere. It was in the building of the things of God in his life, listen to this, which is the house of God. That's where you and I have got to be. And secondly, listen to what he says this, I have heard your prayers and supplication. His heart so concerned about what God says, he was talking to God all the time. And the word supplication is he was meshing together with God in one harmony. That's what supplication means. It means a mixing together with God. So his prayers, his petitions, and his mixing together with God. And he says, that you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built to put my name there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. He makes this statement in verse number 4. Now, if, remember I told you before the biggest word in the Bible is the word if. It's the biggest word. Two letters in the Bible will determine your future. Everything you'll ever have, everything you'll ever be, everything you'll ever do, everything you'll ever accomplish, every bit of fulfillment you'll ever experience is based on two words, two letters, IF, if. Here God comes along. Man, this guy's doing pretty good. He's rich. He's got his father that's great, been great before the God. And this bloodline is going to come, Jesus Christ. Here is Solomon, and he's in prayer and supplication. God says, I'm going to put my hand and my mark upon it. He doesn't stop right there. God knows this guy. And he says something to him that about every one of us. We can't just stop with prayer and supplication. We got to live this out. He says, if you walk before me as your father David walked in integrity of the heart. In other words, this is really all about the heart. If you walk before me in the integrity of your heart and the uprightness, in other words, my ways, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments. In other words, here he comes along. I would have thought that's all he had to do is go to the temple, or now he's built the house, that's enough. Or now that he's successful and has a lot of money, that's enough. And certainly he's in prayer. Isn't that great? But now God says, listen, there's something I want you to do besides just pray. See, we have a church all across America that prays, but they don't live the statutes of God, or don't even want to live the statutes of God. And all of us have to understand something. If I want prayers answered, and I want them to be continued, and I want the mark of God on everything I do, I've got to live a certain way. I can't just expect the results today and then walk away from God tomorrow because I got the results. And we find a lot of people who pray until they get some results and then don't give a flip about God. It cannot be that way with you or me. We're going to pray. We're going to remember that God doesn't forget. God holds on to these prayers. In verse number 5, it comes along. He says, and I will establish your throne in the kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, of course, he fell apart. Here's this guy had a great start, had everything. That's oftentimes what Christians are all about, but couldn't complete the race. And I want to complete the race because you know why? Because I want it to be established forever, what we do in the house of God. Is anybody listening? God cares. What brought God to his attention was the fact that he was building the house of God. What got God's attention was the prayers that he was giving up to the Lord and the supplications. And it brought God to a place of making a promise to him. If you do what I want you to do and live the way I want you to live and follow my ways instead of your own ways, I will bless you forever. Not just now, but forever. That's a mighty statement, guys. If you never knew anything else but lived your life by that statement, it'd be more than enough. I made a statement to you myself just a few minutes ago. God holds on to your prayers. They must be valuable to God. Listen to this. Go with me to Revelation, in the 5th chapter of Revelation. Revelation, the 5th chapter. Last book in your Bible. Talking about Jesus coming in the book of Revelation. Verse number 8, it says this. Now when he had taken the scrolls and the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, golden bowls full of incense. Listen to this. These incense, which are the prayers of the saints. In other words, the prayers of the saints somehow are housed in heaven, and they're kept and they are incense, like a fragrance that comes up to God. One of the things that you do, you put a fragrance out in your room. Maybe you have one of those little wall plugs, you know, and it's an electrical thing, and it every few seconds throws off a fragrance in your living room. You know, and you, for the first couple of weeks, you smell it, and then you don't smell it so much, and then you forget it's even on. Has anybody ever done that? And you realize that 2 months have gone by, and there's a waste of time. But the first couple of weeks was great because you smelled, and when you smelled, you remembered. The fragrance. It reminded you of something good. This is the fragrance of God. Listen to me. Listen to me. This is the fragrance of God, is your prayers. Can you imagine such a thing? The creator of the heavens and the earth. The one that holds it all together by the power of his might. The one who speaks and solar systems exist. We're talking about God Almighty. Who walks on water, raises the dead, opens the blind eyes, God Almighty. Who knew your name before you ever were born on this planet. Went to the cross for you, and you weren't even thought of in your father's thinking or your mother's thoughts. You weren't even around, you weren't even conceived. And God knew you before Adam and Eve ever fell. And your prayers, if you never did anything else in your life, but live for God and pray, and be in supplication, you'd tear up the world you're around. God thinks so much of your prayers, he doesn't forget. They become fragrance, a reminder to him all the time. Who forgets? You and I. While you're there in the book of Revelation, listen to what it says in the 8th chapter, verse 3 of the 8th chapter. It said, another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Can you imagine those things you're going to say tonight are going to be kept by God, and it's going to be a fragrance to God, and an angel in heaven is going to bring it before the Lord, Almighty God? Who are you? Are you some broken down, worthless person? Are you someone who is defeated, destroyed? You are unimportant? Do you consider yourself as a nobody? And do you consider yourself as a nothing? Wait a minute. My Bible says God hears your words, puts them in a bowl, and no matter what the world says about you, the prayers are a fragrance to God. We need to get another concept of who we really are in Christ Jesus. That's an amazing thought. Sometimes we think, well, I don't know how to do this. Have you ever thought about you not doing it and letting God do it through you? Sometimes I don't know how to pray. Sometimes I don't know what to pray. I don't even know when to pray. But sometimes God will just be on me to pray. Real quick, if you're like me and you don't know, but remind yourself of these words out of Romans, the 8th chapter. Go there with me. Verse 26 says these words, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. You ever felt weak? Come on. Anybody in here tonight? Anybody ever felt weak? Of course you have. We all have. Felt like our prayers didn't go anywhere. Felt like God only answers certain people's prayers, but certainly doesn't answer ours. But according to my Bible, those prayers are kept by God as a fragrance to God. They must be important. And I don't know about you, but I've felt weak many times. In fact, the devil loves to play that. You're too weak. God's not listening. He won't answer you. He hadn't answered you before. It's been a long time, but you know what? You're still here. Say anything you want. We're still here. Say anything you want. I'm still breathing. Say anything you want. I'm still on the planet. Say anything you want. I'm still a child of God. Say anything you want. My words are still valuable. Say anything you want. Sometimes I do feel weak. That's what he says. Now listen to these words. For we do not know what we should pray. For as we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Listen, I know this is a verse about singing and praying in tongues. But also there's a moaning that comes out. It doesn't mean it's tongues. It's just something that comes out of the inside of you. It's just something you're before God and you go, ugh. Ugh. Sometimes you're too weak to do anything except moan. You don't feel like forming words. You don't think about a sentence. You don't know how to put together a thought to God. You don't have to, but the Holy Ghost that lives inside of you, he just moans. A groan from the inside that becomes a prayer from the heart that fills the bowls of heaven, that become a fragrance to the nostrils of God, that keeps him from forgetting who you are and how valuable you are. Jeez. Sometimes we come into the house of God and we're going to pray. We're not going to pray. We're going to fill up bowls. They're going to be housed in the heavens and moved by the angels. Why? Because you are valuable to God. You say, I don't know what to do. You don't have to do anything. Let God moan through you. Yeah. But it's got to come from the heart. Verse number 27 says, now he who stretches the heart, searches the heart, knows what the mind of the Spirit is. In other words, God, who searches your heart when you don't know what to say, knows what the mind of the Spirit is. So when the mind of the Spirit is speaking, God, Lord, or it could be, whatever it is, he says, the mind of the Spirit is known by the one who searches the hearts because he makes intercession for the saints. God himself is praying for you every day. You say, Pastor Jim, will you pray for me? I will. I love you. I love you more than I love myself. But I want you to know something. There's one greater than me who loves you more than I do, who's praying for you every day. You may feel like no one cares. Whatever happened to the husband? Whatever happened to the dreams? Whatever happened to the wife? Where's that energy for the future? You may feel like you're just unimportant. You're weak. No one cares. But God Almighty, according to that verse, is making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What's the will of God? That you live blessed. That you see yourself as important. That you walk, like he said with Solomon, walk in my way. With integrity in your heart about who I am. And when you do, the prayers of the saints. I'm here to tell you something. Listen to me. You are never, never, never alone. You are never, never forgotten. You are never not prayed for. You are never not cared for. That's what this is all about. every single one of us in here. When we pray, you are so valuable that God holds on to your prayers. You may let them go, and that's a tragedy, but God holds on to your prayers. Tonight, we're going to pray. You know what we're going to pray? We're going to pray specifically for you. With the idea in mind that the words or the groanings that come from your heart are going to be housed by God as a fragrance to the Lord forever. You say, Pastor, how does that work? I have no idea. All I know is if God said it, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. I don't have to explain it. That's the way it is. There's many things about God you and I will never explain in this lifetime. We've got to believe it by faith. Have you got problems in your home tonight? Got a broken heart? People let you down? You're lonely? Been violated too many times, lied to too many times, been taken advantage too many times. Feel like you're worthless and have no value. Feel like you've been forgotten. God hadn't forgotten. God will never forget. Is there sickness in your life? Disease, illness? Is there financial problems? Would you like to be somewhere where you're other than where you're at? Would you like to be doing something more than you're doing? Or have you just forgotten the prayers that he never forgot?
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.